This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, hit number 3,000, a run is scored!
Smith, courts one into right, down the line, it may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans, and welcome to an episode of Bow Ties and Bullshit, brought to you from the Patio Studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Don't forget, patios, pre or post game, meet up, have a cocktail, head over to the game, or hell, don't even go to the game, just hang out at patios and enjoy the day. Of course, we want to thank our friends at Two Birds on a Bat, being myself, for helping with the sister shows here, and I know everybody really enjoys this one as we get into some fun stuff and talk to some guys that I enjoy getting their opinions from, and I know the fans do as well. As always, special thanks to Randy and Stephanie Green with InnovativeCompanies.com, the name you know and trust when it comes to residential, commercial, and industrial work. Their construction team, heating and cooling team, and electric team are second to none. Don't forget the first responder and military discount that they offer, 15% off for all those fine people that show their proper identification. So the name you know and trust, of course, is InnovativeCompanies.com. Well, lots going on, or is there? I mean, there's always that, right? So, but it's fun to have these conversations, and there's always a little bit of what if and where are we at and what's going on. And if we didn't have that, we'd have nothing to talk about. And if we had nothing to talk about, then we'd never know who the hell Kyle Reese is. So let's welcome him in and find out exactly who this guy is. What's going on?
Imagine living in that paradise where you had no idea what the hell I sounded like or who the hell I was. I can imagine that many and good night's sleeps are made on top of that.
I'm not so sure that's true, but I know where you're coming from. But hey, this is getting like, we got a lot of he said, she said going on, which, did I just say she shed?
On the seashore.
It's on the seashore. So, but we got a lot of stuff going on. I'm not 100% sure. Like, here's my thing. I said it yesterday. I don't know what's true and not true, right? I don't know that anybody does, but I do believe, and I don't know about you, but there's something going on. Something. Mm-hmm. To what degree it is, I don't know if any of us really know. I would say this, and this is my opinion, and I'm curious to get yours. So this is kind of almost my own question for the Patterson Tire and Service text line for you, because I've always been, how do I put this? I have asked a couple people at times their thoughts on this, and they kind of agreed with me. So I've always kind of thought there was something to my opinion on this, and I'm not. And it's not an earth-shattering thing. I think it makes sense is all it is. I've always been of the opinion that you wonder how things like this get out, right? I've always been of the opinion that the team that does want to move a guy is the one that leaks it to the proper person because they want to build interest in said player.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. So the whole thing of do they really want to trade him? I mean, I can understand that to some degree of, well, maybe we just wanted to see what he was worth. Why? I get that, right? To some degree, but there's something there. Like there's something here. And the fact that the Cardinals are involved in it, you know, they do a pretty good job of deny, right? But there's smoke here, so there's fire, right, to some degree?
Yeah. Personally, I don't think just from what I've seen and what I've read and what I've heard, I don't think the Cardinals are even denying interest in it. I think that Mr. Mozeliak on KMOX over the weekend, all he said was that some of the rumors being swirled around, about 90% of them, aren't true, which, you know, I interpret as, yeah, of course we're talking about the Colorado Rockies, about Nolan Arenado. Of course we're still trying to make our team better. But maybe it's not as far along, and maybe some of the names that on our end are bullshit. And, you know, it was really interesting this weekend. That Bruce Levine or Levin or whatever, the Bruce Levin, his report or whatever he said on the radio that got everybody up in arms with potential trade candidates and who might be going where for what and who, you know, it goes, you know, we got really excited about that. We were very excited about that as fans. Never mind that he followed that up by saying that the Cubs are also trying to pursue Nolan Arenado with the intent of moving Chris Bryant to center field, which obviously is total trash. I mean, deniable on every side of that. A, because Cubs don't have a lot of money, probably wouldn't be able to afford Arenado, probably don't have the prospect for it, and also they're not going to move Chris Bryant to center field. None of that makes any sense at all. We're excited. It's not a fever pitch. I don't doubt that the Cardinals are talking about it. Mr. Morosi's articles that just say the same thing over and over, he tries to present it as new news. They seem to be hinting at it. So yes, I think there is definitely smoke here. I definitely believe the Cardinals have engaged the Rockies. I of course they've exchanged names. There was a second article written by John Morosi that said they exchanged names. Well, yeah, like, what do you think happened? Do you think John Mozeliak called the Rockies and said, hey, yeah, Nolan Arenado, we'd like him, but you know what? We're not going to talk about any of our guys.
Silly.
Of course. It's silly. So ignore the noise. Look at the smoke. And yes, there is smoke. They definitely have at least asked about what it would take to get Arenado. And, you know, this goes back to the conversation we had last week with, now we just look at the obstacles that are between these two teams making a deal happen. Well, so, yeah, I think that there's smoke for sure.
So let's talk about those obstacles, right? Like, to me, I'll tell you what, let's think about those obstacles while I remind people to check us out on twobirdsonabat.com. We're going to ask you to subscribe to the show there. It takes about 30 seconds. Free. Would love you guys to do that. You can check out our Two Birds blogs there as well. They do a great job. Appreciate those people so much. Find us on social media at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. We're going to ask you to follow us on Twitter and then find us on Facebook by typing in Two Birds on a Bat. We always ask that you like our page. And when you see the pinned post, that's our newest show. If you like it, comment on it and share it. That helps us reach more Cardinal fans and bring them into our network. And by doing so, we always select random people and just send them something. It's kind of a cool thing. We contact them and let them know they've won something and just enjoy doing that. And it's kind of fun. Find us on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show, and of course as part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio, streaming platform for your mobile device. Want to thank one of our partners out there, Adam Smokehouse. I'm looking forward to getting over there this week. My good friend and yours in St. Louis, he loves you guys. Benji Molina coming in town for the winter warm-up, and I know we're going to get over there and have some of the best barbecue in St. Louis. You guys, if you haven't tried it yet, I would strongly suggest it. Get over to Watson Road, open till 7, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. Some of the best barbecue that you can find when it comes to their specials or their ribs or their sides, anything that you may need, you can have it delivered to certain zip codes. If you want to be a hero around the office and do the big box lunch order and take care of a bunch of people, or if you have meetings, of course, if you need catering done, they can take care of that. But I do highly encourage you to just get over there and try it. It's worth the journey if you're not real close. Tell Mike and the whole gang there we said hi. They're second to none. That's Adam Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. So thinking about those names, Kyle, so I think this goes without. See, some of this stuff, like when I'm talking about this, I'm thinking in my head, you know, okay, putting it into words, and it just sounds so like, it almost sounds like, well, yeah, of course. But they become issues, and everybody thinks it's an issue, but it's only logical that the two-year opt-out is an issue, because if the two-year opt-out is there, the Cardinals logically, like if I'm John Mozeliak, like if you and I were role-playing and I'm John Mozeliak and you're the GM from the Rockies, I'm going to go, hey, I mean, but here's the problem. You know, I'm taking the salary away from you. And if I was taking the salary for a long time, that would be your benefit. That's obviously why you want to get rid of him. So I could understand, though, that you'd be saying to me, yeah, but you're getting an all-star caliber third baseman for the next 8 years signed. You know, you don't have to worry about that. And, you know, everybody's happy. But I'm going to go, yeah, but I might give you all these really good young players, and then he walks in 2 years. So therefore, I'm not going to give you these two players, or for these first 2 years, you're going to have to eat some salary because I'm not going to take it away from – I mean, there's – and I can't get Matt Carpenter – you know, there's so many moving parts. I can't get Matt Carpenter to accept a trade as part of this deal for you to help offset some salary. So therefore, I'm going to need you to eat $20 million. You know, like, there's so many moving parts. Like, you, like, of course they're all part of these negotiations, but you can't say for sure which one's the snag because you don't know which one they've said, I can, you know, I can deal with this, I cannot deal with this. The St. Louis Cardinals, listen, and I may be wrong here, and I'd love to hear your opinion. If the St. Louis Cardinals went into this thing thinking that they were going to get Nolan Arenado for just okay prospects because he's got an opt-out in 2 years, then that's a waste of time. Mm-hmm. He's Nolan Arenado. I mean, he's not some overpriced scrub.
Yeah, and the conversation that I've been having a lot with people, well, not a lot with people, but with a couple different people, is in regards to how Arenado compares to Giancarlo Stanton. And, you know, Stanton was coming off of an MVP season, but the difference is it was new ownership in Miami. It was a new front office, and they tried to get the most they could for Giancarlo Stanton. And he said, no, I want to go to New York. You have to make a deal work with one of these four teams, and they made a deal work with New York. And that's why it didn't cost the Yankees the level of prospects that it's going to cost the team to acquire Arenado. You know, the other issue that people forget is the Rockies have nothing but, like, leverage in this situation because of this. Like, they don't have to grant a team a window. Like, there's an option here, right, where the Rockies could say, all right, Cardinals, we've come to an agreement. Here's a window. Talk to Arenado. See if you can get him to, you know, give him some more money to agree to those 4 years, past the opt-out. Like, they don't have to do that. They can just say, look, we want 6 years worth of Nolan Arenado in prospects, and you have to meet that. And they don't really have an incentive to trade him. Like, sure, it'd be nice for them to clear that $34 or $35 million off the books for the next couple of years. No doubt about that. But they could still be a competitive team next year. They probably won't be, but they could still be a competitive team next year. And they still have a superstar. They don't have the urgency that the Marlins had to trade Giancarlo Stanton. And it didn't blow up in their face when they did try to trade him. And he just said,
Number one, don't you agree? If we're going to rehash time, Miami. Like the whole thing was a shit show. They could not have handled that any poorer.
That entire offseason for them, not just Stanton.
Like, the truth of the matter is they should have probably went backwards. They really should have. They should have.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to blame that on Derek Jeter because, you know, there are other baseball people that have been around for years that are but, like, nobody thought about this process. Number one, they should have approached the Stanton thing completely different. They should have.
Yeah.
They basically showed their hand. We got to move the contract. See, that's the thing. Like, you kind of touched on it. The Rockies don't have to do this. When you go to a Marlins game, you can clear the place out with a shotgun. Okay. Mm-hmm. The Rockies are going to get 3 million fans. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure I believe they signed him to trade him. I believe that. Like, they thought, you know what, let's go ahead and sign him because then we'll have some – like, that's what I believe, because they're always going to finish third. They just are. Mm-hmm. Second, third, you know, they just – I don't know what the answer is there because the pitching thing's an issue. It just is. They've tried it every way, right? Let's just bomb the hell out of the ball. But it – so long story short here for me, Miami screwed up. But because Miami screwed up doesn't mean this one's going to go that way. It's completely different. 100% couldn't be any more different. Now, the interesting part of this is we all assume that the difference here is that while Giancarlo Stanton didn't want to be in St. Louis, that Nolan Arenado wants to be in St. Louis. Well, number one, we can assume that, but we don't know it. I mean, we've heard rumblings or whatever. But the interesting part of this, too, is, you know, the teams that Stanton wanted to go to were interested in him. So that made it all advantage Stanton, right?
Yeah.
And then they held all the cards because Miami said, what? We have to get rid of him. Situation's totally different here. If Nolan Arenado says, if the same thing was to happen, if he was to say, look, I got nothing against St. Louis, but if I'm moving, I'm going to a big market, right? Yeah. So now all of a sudden the big markets go, well, he's only going to accept the trade here, so I'm not going to give you anything. The difference here is Colorado could go, well, then we ain't trading him.
Yep.
Big difference. Huge difference. So if Nolan Arenado wants out because they're, because he, and again, this is all like what we hear, right? He signed there and because they were going to build a team around, they're going to win, and now all of a sudden it's falling apart, right? Falling apart. So now it's like, well, I don't want to be part of a rebuild. Okay, well, then if you really want out, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's a win-win for all of us. So that's why the Cardinals, I think, are in a good position to do so. Let me ask you this question. We got a lot of stuff on the Patterson Tire and Service text line. Tons and tons and tons of things about this. I'll sum up a bunch of people's thing here. I don't know about you, but does the Josh Donaldson signing have any effect on this? I don't think so, because I don't think the Cardinals were ever going to sign him. So I don't think it has any. I think it has zero effect on it.
I think people assume that what will end up happening now is that the Braves will invest heavily into a pursuit of Nolan Arenado, because the perception was that they were all in on bringing Josh Donaldson back. And I would caution that I don't believe that's how front offices are run. I don't doubt that they had allocated quite a bit of time and resources to the pursuit of bringing Josh Donaldson back. But I also have no doubt that the Atlanta Braves were also talking with the Rockies and probably also talking with the Chicago Cubs about Chris Bryant at the same time. You know, it's not like every front office is narrowly focused on one player at a time. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if now, because Donaldson is off the market, that you see maybe the Rangers pick up a little additional interest in Arenado, or you see the Braves pick up interest in Arenado. But I don't think it changes how the Cardinals will approach it, not unless Mr. DeWitt says, all right, I'm worried now, go do what you got to do. And like that's the only way that something like that changes, the Donaldson signing would change this.
We had an interesting question on the text. We're going to go to the Patterson Tire and Service text line, because I got to tell you, I think today's a record for texts. I promise you we've got 300.
That's awesome.
So I'm waging through and trying to get the I mean, there's a bunch about the same thing there usually is, but as I wade through. We got one yesterday, though, that I got to ask you your thoughts on, because it is pure opinion. To a man, none of us would know for sure, but we get a vibe, right? Do you think, I'm just curious your opinion, do you think certain players Bill DeWitt gets more involved in because he likes them as players or because he thinks they're good for the organization as a whole?
This is tough, because I can almost tell you with 100% certainty that he does. There have been instances, and again, it's all about what you hear, who you hear it from, or whatever.
Yeah, or the optics of it, the way it looks,
yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
You know, I just being honest.
For sure, yeah. I would suggest that there are multiple players on the Cardinals roster currently, including one of the guys that we just talked about, that Mr. DeWitt was aggressive about a pursuit of, and not necessarily forced the front office's hands in that direction, but the hands of the front office, rather. But he was instrumental in the pursuit of those players. You know, I would feel really comfortable hedging my bets that Mr. DeWitt was in charge of the not in charge, but strongly urged that the Cardinals re-sign Matt Carpenter. And you don't need to look any further than the timeline of that, including how it all lined up with Nolan Arenado, because Arenado was signed in February and Carp was signed in like April or something like that. And I don't doubt that it was part of that, like those two were connected. And I also don't doubt that Mr. DeWitt loves him some legacy players, loves him some guys who spend...
That's where I was going with this. That's where I was
their
going
entire
with this.
Exactly. Yeah. Their entire professional career with the St. Louis Cardinals. That's Matt Carpenter. I feel comfortable and confident in saying that Mr. DeWitt was probably behind Matt Carpenter's extension at the time it happened. I also know that the front office and the ownership loved everything that they had heard and talked with in regards to Dexter Fowler. I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. DeWitt, you know, maybe pushed that along, was a little bit more aggressive, was a little bit more willing to spend the money that it took to get Dexter Fowler. And the rumor all along has been that he was the one driving the train for Giancarlo Stanton when maybe the front office wasn't as bullish on it because of the amount of money tied up in Mr. Stanton.
Well, doesn't it make sense, though, that an owner would – I mean, you'd always get the owner involved in something that was as substantial as a contract like that. That makes a lot of sense, right? So if you're going to spend somebody's money at a large clip, you want them to feel good about it. That way, if it blows up in your face, you can go, you know, hey – listen, this is, you know, almost like, warned you, you know, I told you so or whatever, but not that that ever works in the end because that means you really lost heavy. But I guess the part of it that I was kind of touching on that you didn't touch on was, to some degree, even more than liking them as a player, the effect they would have on your franchise. So yeah. Like you said, and when you said legacy, I kind of went a different way, but I know what you mean about a guy that's been here for the entirety of his career and what it means to the fan base and things, but a game-changing figure for your franchise. Because the Cardinals have seen it, right? Like, you could say whatever you want to say, but the reality of it is Mark McGwire was a game-changer for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first big things for that group, right? Well, I'd say Tony La Russa probably was, right? But
yeah.
Getting Mark McGwire, like the St. Louis Cardinals probably were going to be fine, right? But getting Mark McGwire, things have never been the same for this organization since they got Mark McGwire, and I mean in a good way. It's been an uphill climb for this organization since the day they traded for him, and they were already a quality organization. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah, one of the most highly thought of.
So then you start adding the pieces around him, and then on top of the let's face it, the circus, because it was a circus, right? Mm-hmm. I call any time you're more excited about something than winning, it's a circus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So once the circus is over and the winning starts, and then you just start piling on and piling on with the right kind of players, and then let's be frank, you fall ass backwards in Albert Pujols. Like, nobody ever says that, but that's the truth.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't a high draft pick. He wasn't a top prospect in baseball. I mean, for God's sakes, he just demolished spring training, and you were going to send him down until Bobby Bonilla gets hurt the last day. You know, you fall ass backwards in Albert Pujols, right? And then you just go on this run that makes your franchise – you know, not only was it an iconic franchise through history, but now it's one of the top franchises in baseball for sure, and everything just keeps rolling. Well, now you kind of find yourself in this thing where you're going, how do we replicate that? Because the one guy that has kind of picked that torch up and carried it a little bit for us in Yadier Molina, I mean, it's almost over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you look around and you look around and go, who's the next guy? Now, don't make no mistake about it. You know, you look right at Jack Flaherty square in the eye, and you're like, holy shit, we got something here. But this is the thing to remember, and this sucks, okay?
Yep.
It doesn't take long for a pitcher to go away, and that's what stinks about pitching.
Yeah, and it doesn't take long for the Cardinals to be, you know, priced out of an elite player.
Yes.
You know, that's the other tough thing here, and it's not like Jack Flaherty is going to take a $100 million deal, and, you know, that takes him to the age 30, like it did with Albert Pujols. He's going to hit free agency. He's going to hit it at a young age, and he's going to make a lot of money that'll probably price the Cardinals out if he stays healthy. They definitely tried, and they thought that they had hit that player with Paul Goldschmidt. And, you know, maybe because of – and Paul Goldschmidt's a great player. He is essential to the Cardinals' success moving forward. He's going to be for a couple of years. But he lacks – because of the type of – you know, he's Scott Rolen. Scott Rolen was all business. You know, everybody knew he was a great guy. Everybody knew he had a sense of humor. But when it came to field time, he was all business. He was solely focused on the production at the plate, production in the field, being like the stoic baseball player. And, you know, I maintain that those teams wouldn't have been as fun if it wasn't for Jim Edmonds. And, you know, like, you need something that is, like, interesting to go with your great players. And I do think, like, that's why I'm kind of loud about saying that this really does come down not only because of the finances, to Mr. DeWitt. If Mr. DeWitt applies the pressure to go get Nolan Arenado, they'll get Nolan Arenado. I have no doubt about that. But I don't think that this is a Mo thing. I don't think this is a front office thing. I think this solely comes down to Mr. DeWitt. And again, that's probably not fair speculation, but I really do.
It only makes sense. Like I said, I think the biggest thing here is if you worked for anybody and you were in charge of their business and you were going to take yourself to an area that was uncomfortable, that you would have to get the owner involved. And the owner better feel warm and fuzzy about it, because again, you got to cover your ass, and it is kind of what it is. So, you know, for me, I will say this. I would love to have the guy, I think, for a variety of reasons, right? I want the Cardinals to be good. I want them to be relevant. I want to have players that I like. And by all accounts, he sure seems like the kind of guy that you'd like to see in the lineup every day. You know, we kind of gave some percentages yesterday on, like, I was high. I'm like, I was 80% this thing gets done. Where are you at on that?
Oh, wow. Well, you were, last week you were 50%. When we did this last week, you were 50. And I think I was 15, something like that.
Yeah, I'm 80 now because I just, too much smoke here.
Ah.
Too much smoke.
I think I might have gone up from 15 to 25. Now, I don't think anything's going to happen soon. I definitely feel like it's almost too loud for things to happen soon, especially now as, like, you see Morosi start to backtrack where he's like, Mike Carpenter doesn't have a no trade. It doesn't. Oh, and then he's like, oh, wait, no, it doesn't kick until opening day. And he's like, oh, wait, it kicks in spring training. And now it's, oh, well, it's already kicked in. Like, the big report coming from the big national guy was wrong on a lot of things, while adding a lot of speculation that was not substantiated. I think he's just hearing things. He hears the Cardinals have talked. And I just don't see why the Rockies would have the urgency. And now, you know, with maybe the Braves a little bit more aggressive, I think it makes it a little bit more difficult for it to happen. I'm definitely a little bit more bullish on it than I was last week when I said 15 or 20%, whatever I said. You know, I'll say 25. I think it can happen. I just, man, I see all of those obstacles, the opt-outs, the no-trade clauses, the prospects, the window to negotiate potentially with Arenado to, you know, add money so that he waives his opt-out. Like, there's still so many obstacles. I do think Mr. Mazdelic will be working on it. I just, man, the ways to make it work don't necessarily seem like they're fit for the St. Louis Cardinals, in my opinion.
Well, let's start rolling through these before you get out of here. We got a shitload of questions here that I want to ask you about. So we're going to go, and we're going to go all over the board. And just, these are most, some of these are good because of what you do, and some of them are opinion. Let's start with an opinion one. As a Cardinals fan, do you hope the Cubs trade Chris Bryant? Would you rather get him out of the Central, or would you rather him stay and then leave and they get nothing?
I'm not one of these people who hate Chris Bryant. I love Chris Bryant. I wish he was a St. Louis Cardinal. I wish that there was some way you could make that work. Of course, you won't be able to. I definitely like the idea that the Cubs would only get a draft pick for him, but they'd still get like a draft pick for him. So of those two questions, I want him out. I want him out as soon as possible. I'd like to see what the Cubs can acquire from like a prospect standpoint for him, because I don't believe Theo Epstein is particularly good at that aspect. I'd have to go back and look, and I'm probably speaking out of turn here, but he's good at acquiring the assets, or you know, like he's good at trading the assets. I love or signing the assets or drafting the assets, but I can't think of a time, even when he was with the Red Sox, where he was trading off pieces like that. So I don't know, man. I say get him out of the Central as soon as possible and work from there and hope that Epstein and Hoyer blow it while trying to trade him.
Well, they screwed him over from day one. You know, you hear all these things about guys, things happening to a player and him holding a grudge. Well, but then, you know, money cures all ills, right? I would sure like to see this guy hold the grudge. I mean, for once, against an organization that basically they screwed him. They did.
Yeah.
And listen, you can say that's the rules. You know, you can say that, and that's fine. And I'm like, so they didn't screw him. Okay, well, I'll change. Okay, you did him dirty.
Yeah.
So guess what? Here's the deal. You want to tell me they played by the rules? Well, then so is he. He's going to play by the rules too.
And you're right about that. And the rumor is that the grievance will be settled or whatever by within the week. So we should know fairly soon about what that, you know, how that all plays out and what ends up happening there. And that's going to be really exciting news too. Probably pretty controversial news as well.
Do you guys feel like a trade for Arenado would make the Cardinals the National League favorites? No, I still don't.
I don't either. No.
Are we better? Of course we're better, but I don't know that we're the favorites. I will say this. A trade for Arenado puts us in that, in my opinion, puts us in that category of let's go out and win our division and get in.
Yeah.
That's I feel better about that. I don't know if that answers the question, or maybe it does.
I'm right there with you, man. I still love the Dodgers. I still love the Nationals. I think the Braves are still a really good team, even with the loss of Donaldson. I wouldn't say it would make them the favorite. It would bolster their chances. It would make me feel more comfortable that they'd be able to hang with those three teams I mentioned, along with other teams. But, you know, they still have health concerns and they still have offensive concerns, even with Arenado. So I wouldn't go so far as to call them the National League Central or the National League favorite, but it definitely bolsters their chances.
Here's one question. Where do you see the Cardinals catching prospect progression and timeline with and without Kisner being part of the organization on opening day? I guess, and that's from Whitewater Addy. That's the first person to put their name on it.
Yeah,
I'm assuming this is like if he's part of a deal, right? Like if he's if he's not part of a deal, is, you know, are they committing to him after Yachty? Or if he's not part of it, then what? So we're, I guess, basically just give your thoughts on where he sits as part of the organization.
Yeah, that's our good friend Adam Van Grack, who does a little bit of writing for Birds on the Black as well.
Oh, he, good stuff.
I don't think so. Yadier Molina is going to play until 2030. Like, 2030. I don't think that Andrew Kisner's spot in the organization is really altered in anything resembling the near future. If they move him, they just have the newly acquired Hernandez, who they signed to a minor league deal, or Jose Godoy, or Chris Chinea, or another, maybe hopefully Matt Wieters, if they can bring Wieters back, or another veteran who ends up just serving the same role that every veteran has served and every backup has served for Yadier Molina since the beginning of time. Now, if he's moved, the only thing that changes is, you know, it creates a clearer path for the 19-year-old Ivan Herrera, who will probably start the year at Springfield, might start the year at Palm Beach. It creates a clearer path for him, obviously. But I honestly, it sucks to say, because I believe Andrew Kisner is going to be a very productive major league player. I think he's going to catch, you know, a 400 at bat type catcher, you know, plays 100 games a year, 110, 120 games a year, split time. I think he's going to be a very productive major league catcher. I just don't see how that happens on the Cardinals as long as Yadier Molina is there. And I want him to get the opportunity. So
you'd have to assume he's part of a deal to Colorado, right? You'd have to assume that.
Yeah, for any type of offensive upgrade, I would assume that Andrew Kisner is the carrot that you're dangling.
And he would probably love to hit there. So
it'd be great for him. He's a gap hitter, especially. So he's a right-handed swinger, and he puts the ball into the left center field gap or the right center field gap extremely well. And, man, I think he would be – I mean, everyone's going to have an offensive outburst in Colorado as compared to St. Louis, but that park is particularly suited for his average and his doubles potential because of his gap line drive approach.
Here's a good one, and I do want to get your thoughts on this, because I kind of had a little back and forth with Kevin Wheeler on this exact thought yesterday. So the question is, if Hudson goes to Colorado, can we please get a breakdown of the candidates for the starting rotation? Ponce, Woodford, Gomber, Helsley, anyone else? So my thing on this was, so Kevin Wheeler really didn't appear to want to trade Dakota Hudson, which I think is crazy, but whatever, because I use the two-man rule, because somebody else is going to fill a void. So if you were to ask me tomorrow or today, who would you rather have? Would you rather have Dakota Hudson and whoever that we already have, basically? Or would you rather have Nolan Arenado and Ryan Helsley as your starter instead of Hudson? What would you rather have? I'd rather have Nolan Arenado and Helsley. So that's why I'm all for it. And Helsley's kind of my guy that I like a lot. So naturally, yeah. I'm on board because I like him, right? Like, somebody else may be like, I don't know what you saw in him. Whatever, that's fine. But I'm not a Ponce guy. I'm not a Gomber guy. You're probably the authority to speak on Woodford and really to change my mind on Ponce and Gomber. So go ahead.
So I'm obviously the Helsley guy too. I've been paying for since 2015, since the first time I saw that kid, that he has the potential to be a really dynamic both starting pitcher and backhand bullpen guy. I don't know why anyone wouldn't trade Dakota Hudson. I don't understand that at all, especially not the Colorado. There is data, and there is more than sufficient evidence. It's almost empirical evidence that any sinker ball pitcher in Colorado gets blowed up. The sinker does not sink, the cutter does not cut, and that's two-thirds of his repertoire right there. You're sending him to Colorado, it's a death sentence. And, you know, granted, he's a ground ball pitcher, which won't happen in Colorado as frequently. That eliminates the double plays. He puts too many batters on base. Like, you'd never have to worry about Dakota Hudson ever again if you sent him to Colorado. He might be able to be a productive bullpen piece, you know, with his velocity ticking up and everything. But you'd never have to worry about him. That is a Dakota Hudson graveyard there because of the way his repertoire works and what he would have behind him. Dakota Hudson only works in St. Louis. He only works in St. Louis because of the infield defense. So, like, I don't understand I wouldn't trade Dakota Hudson. You're looking at the people who are saying that are looking at 16 wins and a 3.55 or 3.35 or whatever it is ERA, and they're not thinking logically. They're just saying, oh, this is a controllable asset. He throws right-handed. He's kind of fun to watch. He won a bunch of games. Like, you know, I'm not even talking about the peripheral stats. Like, I'm talking about just take a look beyond ERA and wins. Like, look at everything else. Look at the walk rate. Look at the strikeout rate. You know, he is a walking disaster for the Rockies, and he is a ticking time bomb for the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, as long as they've got good infield defense, they'll probably be fine. You know, more than likely his ERA kicks up to 3.96 or 4.17 next year, something similar to what we saw out of Miles Michaelis this past year. But, yeah, no, I'd gladly trade him, and I'm right there with you. You know, who are the other options? Well, Carlos Martinez and Kim, I think I'm fine with that.
So
I'm
am
not
I.
Gonna sell you on, yeah,
I mean, I don't even know any, like, I know what we know. Like, we know what we know about Kim, but okay, take the ball, go out and see what you can do. Like, if it means getting Nolan Arenado and it's not Jack Flaherty, I'm in. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. I'm in.
I agree, man. I am completely with you. I won't be able to sell you on Daniel Ponce de Leon. I believe that Ponce has a chance to be a very, very good back end of the bullpen piece. His curveball, which he throws weird sometimes, where it just, like, it sails. It's like he doesn't get a good grip on it, and it just sails. I think he has the repertoire to be a pretty good back end of the bullpen piece. You know, kind of if John Brebbia goes down, maybe fill in a similar role to what John Brebbia filled in for. Like, he's a valuable arm. I'm waiting to see about Austin Gomber. They say he's healthy and ready to go. I haven't seen it, and, you know, we'll wait and see with that. But, look, Ryan Helsley is a dynamic arm. He's dealt with arm fatigue a little bit the last 2 years. And other than that, like, you know, everybody, I hear people rave about his cutter. And, you know, obviously his fastball is dynamic. But his cutter is his fourth best off-speed pitch. Now, I don't know why the Cardinals do fastball cutter and have stuck pretty well with fastball cutter. But his curve and his changeup are better pitches than his cutter. And I just don't understand why he doesn't use it more or why, you know, whatever the philosophy is. But he is a potential four-pitch pitcher with a dynamic arm. So, yes, I do not understand. I would be reluctant to trade Dakota Hudson and Carlos Martinez. I think that's flirting with disaster a little bit. But I think that you have enough in the starting pitching depth to trade one of the starting pitchers, not named Jack Flaherty. And obviously, you're not going to trade Waino, and they probably wouldn't be able to even trade Michaelis because he has a no-trade. But I believe that you could trade one of the starting pitchers and still be fine. But you start trading two, then you're in trouble.
Okay, so I will say this. I can't get away from, if it's not Jack Flaherty and I get Nolan Arenado, I don't care who you are. Goodbye. I mean that from a pitching standpoint. I mean this. Miles Michaelis, Carlos Martinez, Dakota Hudson, Libertore, Ryan Helsley. Goodbye. Like, I'm sorry. Like, sooner or later, you'll get a guy that'll help you out. And it'd be nice to have Libertore in the minors. Yeah, it'd be awesome to develop a left hand that might come up here and be a guy. But I'm taking the bird in hand here. Okay, here's a fun one. If you wagered a bet right now, who is hitting cleanup on opening day? And then to follow up, well, I'll follow up the question after that. So opening day lineup hitter. Okay, so pretty simple. Well, not simple, because this will be interesting. Let's do it with and without Arenado, because I still think he's coming here. So with or without Arenado, obviously, if Arenado comes here, it's Paul Goldschmidt. And if it's not, then it's Paul DeJong.
Yeah, unless they try to get – yeah, I think it's going to be DeJong. I think that's a pretty obvious one. But they could also get really cute, and they could do, you know, Goldschmidt hit second, Arenado hit third, and DeJong hit fourth or something like that. You never know. But I'll say it's DeJong one way or the other.
So you don't think it's Nolan Arenado? Okay. All right, the follow-up is, will it be the same person on game 162? Now, that's always tough because things could change. But I will say this. On the caveat of, if it's not Paul Goldschmidt hitting fourth on opening day, if it's not Paul Goldschmidt hitting fourth on opening day, then it will obviously change on 162, no matter who it is.
I completely agree. I have nothing else to add to that either.
Okay, all right. Pretty good one, because I love the like you can have an opinion, because like you have no basis for knowing anything.
Jackpot.
Just absolute fun. Okay. That's kind of long, maybe. Well, here we go. Hey, guys, do you think the Libertore trade will affect the Cardinals' attempts to bring back Ozuna? They already shed some weight in the outfield, and we all know what bringing back Ozuna does for the team. On the other hand, we traded away a Comp A draft pick, and if Ozuna signs with another team, we will get that back, along with the Comp B pick we got from the Rays. I feel the Cardinals value that pick more than Ozuna, but would love to hear what you guys think about the trade alone, if it hurts Ozuna's chances of staying with the team. Well, I'll say this. I'll go first and then let you kind of break it down, because I know you're able to put more value on what picks mean. If you believe rumors, okay, and, you know, I see, like, this one's an interesting one for me. Like, this is one I have a hard time believing is it came from anybody, because we know how Mo and them are. The Cardinals would value Castellanos because he doesn't require a pick, and if Ozuna signs somewhere, the Cardinals get a pick. Well, that's logical. So I think that's where that comes from. Like, that's logical.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think Castellanos and Ozuna are the same player, and the truth is, let's face it, right now, they're both fallback options for you. They're not your priority, or you would have already done it.
Yeah, so real fast, that report came from Ken Rosenthal. And in the report, he said, rival executives believe. So that's like saying that the GM of the White Sox believes that that's the direction.
Yeah, some guy over a drink at the hotel bar said, well, if I was the Cardinals, why would you bring back Ozuna when you can sign Castellanos? He doesn't cost you a draft pick. And then the Cardinals get another draft pick. And because everybody thinks the Cardinals fall ass backwards into these picks, right? They're going, yep, they win again. They get a pick for Ozuna. Yeah. They don't cost them, you know, so that, because that's true, right? Like, people say that all the time. Like, how'd we magically get this comp pick?
Yeah, that's a whole thing, too. So I will say, just to answer the question about Ozuna, I believe that the Cardinals have a very specific number that they've offered him, and I don't believe they're going to budge off of that. And I don't know if that's for a year or 2 years or 3 years or whatever, but I believe that they have a very specific number in mind that is lower than the quality offer, which would have been like $18.7 million. And I don't think that they're going to budge until like a month into the season if Ozuna still hasn't signed and the outfield options that they have internally are terrible. And honestly, I believe that's what the Cardinals should do. I know I'm in the minority there, but I believe that's what the Cardinals should do. In regards to the comp picks and all that stuff, as a way to try to inform people, the pick that the Cardinals swap with the Rays is a competitive balance pick. That's a little bit different than the pick you get for the qualifying offer. That happens after round one. That's competitive balance round A, which comes between rounds one and two. The pick that the Rays had that the Cardinals.
Uh-oh. I did it again. Let's do this. Let's call him. Every time these, that's the only problem with iPhones. Anybody have this problem? When you pick it up because something happens, if it goes back to the screen and you touch it thinking you're pulling it up, you actually hit the hang up button. Let's call him back and see if he answers. I just went, I mean, cut him off mid-sentence. Isn't that rude?
I don't know what happened there.
No, it's me. I just told our listeners. How rude. My phone went off, so I picked it up and touched the hang-up button and hung up on you. And you were rolling. So please, go.
I think where I left off is I was explaining that the competitive balance round B happens between round two and round three. So you're talking about a difference of like 30 picks between there. You're talking a difference of over 1.5, like about $1 million worth of slot bonus. Now, the pick that the Cardinals will get for Marcell Ozuna, if Marcell signs somewhere else, is after the competitive balance round, and it's a comp round, and it's between comp round B and the third round. So it's not like one for one. Actually, trading that comp competitive balance round A pick for a competitive balance round B pick is a huge deal from like a scouting, from a draft standpoint. To drop 30 spots in the draft, give up, you know, probably what it's like 1.2 million dollars worth of bonus is huge. That's a huge thing. So you're right. People will always complain that the Cardinals are a part of the competitive balance system because they draw 3 million people and they have a steady revenue growth and all of that stuff. But it's part of the rules, and it makes sense. Now, the qualifying offer thing is completely different, and it actually weighs less than the pick that they swap for. So, like, that's a completely different thing. I have a very strong feeling about Ozuna. I love the fact that I feel like that's his floor, what we've seen over the last 2 years, and there's more in there. But I also love what the Cardinals are doing and how they're handling it, because I think that they're handling it properly. Instead of signing him to a contract that he wants, you say, look, if you want to come back, here's a contract that we can offer you, and you alternate your plans accordingly because you have the depth that you have, with some really intriguing depth options there, too, that even with the loss of Jose Martinez and Randy Arozarena, make it interesting. And then one more final point I want to make about Matthew Liberatore. I think that people are connecting dots in the wrong kind of way here. I definitely think that Matthew Liberatore, it makes sense that the Cardinals would move him to Colorado, and makes sense that the Colorado Rockies would want Matthew Liberatore. But that doesn't seem like a Mo move to me. It doesn't seem like a Cardinals front office move to me. They just acquired their best pitching prospect, probably since, you know, Alex Reyes, Shelby Miller, Jack Flaherty. He's easily the best pitching prospect in the Cardinals organization. I believe that they have every intent of keeping Matthew Liberatore, and what his presence does, it makes another pitcher expendable, whether that be Genesis Cabrera or Zach Thompson or Johan Oviedo or Angel Rondon or Jake Woodford or Ponce de Leon or Gomber. I believe that his depth, his ad makes someone else expendable who otherwise might not have been expendable. But the least Cardinal thing on earth would be to trade for the guy who is immediately your best pitching prospect, and then trade him right away. So that's, again, it could happen. It could be a linchpin for the Rockies or whoever they trade him to, that we got to have Matthew Liberatore. But I believe that it fits the Cardinals' mold, and it makes more sense that they would move another pitcher instead.
Yeah, the interesting thing about that is you wonder from the Rockies' standpoint, is it we need Liberatore so that we can sell it to our fans? Like, we traded him, but we got one of the best pitching prospects in baseball. Or can they sell to their fans? We got guys that are on the cusp and ready to go, because that would be it, right? Like, if what the Cardinals just did to get Liberatore, let's be frank, I've been saying it for months that the Cardinals have. Well, the Cardinals have too many outfielders. Like, you got to get rid of one. And then I was like, the more I look at it, they've got too many outfielders. Like, they really need to get rid of two. They really could even still get rid of one, but I understand why they want depth from unproven guys. So, like, we're kind of at that juncture now. But the truth is, it's the same thing here. If the Cardinals were to do something, in your point, they've got, like, you would be the expert on this. It kind of feels like they've got a whole bunch of pitchers right now that are on the cusp, but we've got Michaelis signed to an extension. Jack Flaherty's not going anywhere. You expect Wainwright at some juncture for this thing to end. Of course, you don't know what's going on with Carlos Martinez. They did sign the Kim. They got some. So, you know, the depth there allows for, if you got four, let's say you have realistically four guys that you really kind of like, in the end, you hope one or two of them work out, right?
That's it. Last year you said something along those lines, like if you have five guys, if one of them pans out, you've hit. And I think you're right on. I think one in every four, one in every five, if you have five, then one of them pans out, then you've hit well, like you're beating the odds. So yes, I think
you just
right.
Hope you get rid of the right one, right? The one that doesn't
hook exactly.
Up. So, but last question, because I know I've kept you too long, but we kind of this is from hi Kyle Aaron here. So I don't know if it's the Aaron that who it is, but we actually answered one of his questions already through somebody else's. So this is his second one, and this is all you. Could Zach Thompson be a sleeper pick as a late season rotation addition this year, similar to Michael Wacha? And if so, how would that affect your sentiments about our pitching depth if Dakota Hudson were traded? Would love to hear y'all have a more extended conversation on B&B, comparing the contrasting Libator and Zach Thompson.
Yeah, how about this? We'll get to the question, but I'll tell you that my next project before I get into the Dirty 35, I'll do everything I can to write an article comparing Zach Thompson to Matthew Libator. I will say that, so just a little background. Zach Thompson was the Cardinals' 19th overall pick in this past draft, a lefty out of Kentucky. He's 21 years old. He throws a fastball, 94. A curveball that is his best pitch, although people keep saying his slider is, and they're wrong. A slider, that's okay, and a changeup, that's okay. His slider has a lot of RPMs. It's like a 3,000 RPM pitch, as is his curveball, but he doesn't command it, and he doesn't use both sides of the plate with it. The key with Zach Thompson is that in the past, when he was in high school, and then again 2 years ago at Kentucky, he's had arm problems, both shoulder and elbow. I am on board with the Cardinals starting this advanced and talented young man, this young lefty, at Springfield, and also being as aggressive as his success and development allows them to be with him. So that means that, 10 starts into the minor league season, he's commanding everything and he's feeling good. You get him to Memphis right away. You don't screw around. With his past history of arm problems, he needs to be on the fast track, and not a forced fast track, a fast track that his development and his success allows for. He has like a 2.1 ERA and like a 2.9 FIP, but his velocity is diminished in each start. Like you don't push him. You pull the reins back a little bit. So yeah, I do think that there's a chance that if everything goes exactly right for Zach Thompson, you could be talking about him being a rotation option or a major league option late in the season. But one thing we do know about the St. Louis Cardinals is that they like the path of least resistance sometimes in these situations. And I would just caution that there are other players on the 40 man who will be in the minors that would probably get that call before Zach Thompson. I would have to look back at the 2013 or whatever year it was with Michael Wacha to see what the pitching depth was between his path to the majors and actually getting to the majors. But the Cardinals always have pitching depth, but I would assume that there weren't so many guys on the 40-man that could start ahead of him or that were healthy on the 40-man that could start ahead of him, and that probably helped force their hand as well. So I do think it's an option. I do think he has stuff that is major league capable, but we're just going to have to wait and see, especially with a prospect that is as volatile, potentially health-wise, as Mr. Thompson.
Yeah, I mean, what is your, that's an interesting pick, right? Is the upside that high that it was worth that?
He could be a very good pitcher, and his stuff is probably, from a full four-pitch repertoire standpoint, while he doesn't command it as well as someone like George Kirby, who the Mariners took, it probably is dynamic on a stronger level than what Mr. Kirby throws. The thing that makes someone like Zach Thompson really, really interesting at that pick is the measurable, the 3,000 RPM fastball, or the 3,000 RPM curveball and the 3,000 RPM slider. That's really unique. It's super unique. And that shows you that he probably has something special potentially in there. And his fastball had like 2,300 RPMs, I think, on it, which is pretty solid for a fastball. So the measurables are there. And at 19, to pick that type of player, it's a smart, smart move, even with the potential arm problem. So, I mean, there were some other guys I would have liked there. I was a big fan of Brennan Malone. As I mentioned, George Kirby. I think we'd be talking about George Kirby similar to how we're talking about Zach Thompson, but probably closer to how we talked about Michael Wacha. I mean, as a 19th overall pick, you're probably taking the most talented, pure stuff-wise collegiate pitcher in the draft. I'm fine with it. I have a different idea of what I would have liked to have done at that spot, but I get why they did it, and it was probably the right move to make if I'm putting my own bias aside.
I mean, in all honesty, if he's right-handed, do they take him?
I think that if those measurables were there, I think they still would have taken him if he was right-handed, but I definitely think the left-handed thing helps.
You know, the desperateness of, you know, doesn't it seem like it's been a desperate cry? You know, that's why the Libertore thing was interesting, right? I mean, it truly, truly answered the, you know, like, it's just crazy. I don't know. Okay, I got 3 minutes left with you, and somebody, while we were doing this, sent something that was kind of a follow-up to something you did, and he actually sent a question for both you and Mo's. So,
cool.
So Tom in Virginia, you had talked a little bit about the new guy that we had gotten, the backup the depth catcher that we got. I guess he's asking, is he close enough? His question is he close enough that Knizer could be part of the Arenado deal? No. The real question is, like, that guy's not a guy, right? Like,
no, he's not a catcher. It's hard to find video on this kid, and I had to do some digging and some asking, and I finally got some video of him. This kid looks like a bowling ball. Like, I can't. He's 6 foot tall, and he's fully round, and he's a terrible catcher. So he's definitely not going to catch, and he's not particularly athletic. You know, sometimes you get a big guy like that who's still kind of athletic, especially if they play baseball. He's not any of that. His bat is really interesting. He might be able to, if he continues on the track he is on now, because of how, like, advanced of an approach he has and how much pop he has in his bat. And he, like, from what I understand too, he has a great ability to find the barrel of the bat. Like, he just finds it. Like, he knows it. He's one of those guys that can find the barrel on nearly anything thrown his way. But no, he'd have to lose 700 pounds. And also become the most athletic player. He'd have to max out his athleticism for that to happen. So I don't think that that's tied to Andrew Kisner at all. Remember, the Cardinals have Ivan Herrera and Julio Rodriguez at the very least, who I would say at the very least have a potential major league future as, you know, a guy who at least makes a major league debut, which is a lot more rare than we give it credit for. Julio Rodriguez in particular, Ivan Herrera has more than that. But again, I think that even if you hadn't acquired this guy because of the catching depth in the Cardinals organization and the fact that Yadier Molina is going to play until he decides he doesn't want to play, I don't think that it has any bearing at all. The question is, does it make someone like Julio Rodriguez a little bit more expendable? And I think you could make that argument, but I don't think it has any weight on Kisner or Herrera.
I mean, when you sign a guy, when you trade for a guy like that, I'll leave with this with you. There's a variety of reasons why a guy like that's included in a deal. You know, you start looking at it and going, okay, well, we kind of stretched here and we need something. And if I'm not mistaken, typically, I mean, this is what I've been told. Typically, when you get down into this type of situation, the other team will say, look, here's three players, pick one of them.
Yeah.
And then okay, well, we'll take a player. And the Cardinals probably looked at it and said, okay, well, if we wind up doing something, we know that we have a chip in Andrew Kisner, you know, that would open up a spot that we would have to make some movement in the minor leagues. We could plug this guy. And you know what? To your point, you know, he's got a little bit of something with the bat, so who knows? He probably won't be a catcher, but, you know, guys that can – listen, I've told people this 1,000 times. Guys that can hit but can't catch get moved to another position to see if they can do it. And the other thing is, guys that can't hit, that are athletic and can do things, sometimes get a chance to catch.
That's right.
You know, yeah. I say it all the time. People say, well, this guy was a third baseman. They moved him to catcher. Why can't they move him back? There's a reason. Okay. Uh-huh. You know, they felt like he was a – like he's not a whether we think he's a good hitter or not is irrelevant. They didn't think he was a long-term hitter or they wouldn't have moved him to catcher. They try to move hitters out of the catching position because they know the wear and tear it takes on their body. Like, it's just part of the change of the game. It just is. It's the reality. Yeah. I'm not saying that rule applies 100% of the time, but I'm telling you it applies 90% of the time.
Yeah, and most of the time catchers are the smartest baseball minds on the entire diamond. So you're going to take a flyer on a 19-year-old with an interesting hit tool. You might as well take it on a catcher.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals have had they've had some success developing catchers or maximizing the defensive abilities of catchers, even the ones who like don't make it further than AAA or AA. So a lot of it makes sense. If you're going to take a flyer on a player, you might as well take a flyer on this kid.
Well, we'll see what happens. You know, we'll be back next week, and, you know, we'll see where we're at. I mean, it's, you know, we're getting every day is a day closer to pitchers and catchers reporting, and I know how excited that gets you because it just means there's more to talk about. But and you will talk about it, whether it's on, you know, Prospects After Dark or just Twitter War or just Birds on the Black. So tell our listeners where they can follow you before you go.
You can follow me on Twitter at KYLER416. I write for Birds on the Black. We do some amazing stuff over there. Check out everything that they do. I haven't decided on my start date yet, but we'll be rolling out the Dirty 35, our top 35 prospects in the Cardinals organization. Along with that, we will have the guys who I'm picking off the list as graduates, as well as the guys who just missed. There'll be, you know, 40 days worth of content there, more than likely. We do Prospects After Dark usually once a week. Lately, we've been doing it on a Friday or a Saturday. Sometimes it's on Sunday. You can find that through Periscope, through KYLER416, or you can find it through Twitter at KYLER416. And it's a lot of fun. We talk a lot of baseball. We talk a lot of random stuff. And it's complete stream of consciousness that's controlled by the audience. And it's an entirely unique experience. And if you haven't checked it out, you probably should. Become a pad person.
Hey, all right, I'm giving you, before you go, a Frank Cusimano no hedging, because our friends at Cardinals Nation 24/7, which really support us, the Facebook group, I know it's Chris sending in on Twitter, over and under on the Cardinals winning two World Series championships in the 20s.
Well, I'll say under. It's hard to win a World Series, man. I'll always take the under on that.
Yeah, because let's face it, if they were, you know, the under, if they were to win one, you'd be happy, right? So I will I'll go with you. I'll go under because it is hard, but you know, who knows? You never know. I mean, you look back on it and think about the ones they won, and you look at the years they won them, and you go, how'd we win it that year? And then you look at a year like 04 where you're like, man, we should have won the World Series that year. So it should have been three. So good stuff, man. I appreciate you very much. And I look forward to chatting with you next week, my friend.
Same here, Jim. Thanks a lot, bud.
All right, pal. Take care. That is the one, the only Kyle Reese. And we enjoy him joining us each week and spreading some knowledge and some truths and some opinions, as they're a lot of fun. And we appreciate you guys. Lots of stuff on the text line today, and we'll have some for our good friend Mo's Algorithm. So let's thank our friends at Ooh La La Spa Anti-Aging and Wellness Center, Dr. KristenJacobs.com. Great stuff, as always, from her, as she wants to remind you that every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day, and to take care of your skin and take care of yourself and see if there's something else she can do for you. And, of course, my friends at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, best trainers in St. Louis and now in Illinois. Find out if they've got some stuff going on for you, for your young one, to improve, whether it's their baseball or softball game. There's great people there that are really working hard to help them improve their game. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. All right, let's welcome him in. The man, the myth, the legend, Mo's Algorithm. What do you say, Mo?
Hey, what's going on, Jim?
Hey, just finished with Kyle. We ran a little bit late, and as we were getting off the air, our good friends at Cardinals Nation 24/7, the Facebook page that supports us so much, I know Chris sent in a question on Twitter, actually, and it's a no-hedging, a Frank Cusimano special, so I'll ask you. Over and under on the Cardinals winning two World Series championships in the 20s?
Under.
Under why?
I would say that about anybody.
That's right. That's what I thought.
The probability of winning a World Series championship is so low, I'm definitely not going to go over on two.
Yeah, but I think what they're looking for is to be bold and say, of course, you know, here, I'll do it. I'll be the one. I'll change my opinion. I'll say over. Because you know why? Because it's the Cardinals. It's almost like the Bears. You know,
yeah.
I'll have to go with that.
I would put more money on zero than any other number.
Well, see, like, now, honestly, okay. But now you're being Mo's Algorithm. See, now you're using.
I would do that with any team. Like, the odds of zero are significantly higher than any other number.
Oh, Jiminy Christmas. Okay. Well, hey, listen, man, good stuff going on today. Had a long chat with Mr. Reese, and just so much stuff coming in on the Patterson Tire and Service text line that we ran long, so I apologize. But, you know, you've been pretty vocal at times about certain things, and you are as vocal as ever, and the hot topic, it won't go away. I mean, it's funny how last week I had said, you know, is he our white whale? And I think I got my answer, because Nolan Arenado will not go away. He is Moby Dick for sure. You know, why don't you give us your overall opinion on where do you think we are in this? Like, if you had, like, if, using knowledge, using opinion, common sense, where do you think we are in this?
In terms of the negotiation?
No, I mean, just what do you think's really happening? Like, where do you think we really are? Like, there's smoke, so is there fire?
Probably not much, knowing the Cardinals.
No!
I would say it's not even close as Stanton was. You know what I mean? And that didn't feel entirely close because the issue there, I would say the Stanton was closer because they had a deal in place with the Marlins. He wasn't going to go for it. So it was kind of moot. I don't even think they are even close with the Rockies in terms of what the Rockies want for them to even get to the point where it's like, hey, Nolan, would you waive it? You know, this is Troy Tulowitzki all over again. We all want him. I want him. Everybody wants him. The Cardinals want him. I don't have a whole lot of faith it's going to happen. I really, really wish it would, but I don't.
Is it that all over again because it's simple? Well, it's different. It's not simple. Is it that for you because the Cardinals are going to play it a certain way and the difference is the Rockies really don't have to move him?
Yeah, and the Cardinals just don't do risk. Like, we've been over this a few times. Like, it could be risky for them to give up prospects knowing it's only 2 years, but so they're not going to do that.
Okay, so that's your that's where you think the big hang up is the opt out. That's kind of what I was getting at.
Maybe, but it could be, well, do we really want to swallow $240 million? Now, that's not, I seen yesterday someone quote that it wasn't palatable at this point, $35 million a year. Whatever. Like, here we are again. They don't want to spend what it costs to get a player like that. Like, they just don't. And it doesn't matter if it's via trade or whatever. Like, people can point to the Goldschmidt trade. That's fine. But it was a rent a player that they were doubling down on what they tried to do with Hayward. And this time it worked. But this is not the same scenario. This is Stanton all over again. This is Bryce Harper all over again. Like, they're just not going to do it. Like, they're not going to take on that contract. And at no point do I think the Rockies are going to bend and pay Arenado to play for somebody else. They just don't have the money to do that.
Well, they have the money.
I mean, they have the money, but they don't have the money to pay him to play other places and still field a team.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, if they're getting rid of him, they probably want to get rid of it all.
Right.
But they want to get rid of it all and get really good players in return. And the Cardinals aren't going to do that. And so, like, it's just a – I don't know. I really want it to happen, and I would love to have faith that it's going to happen, but you've seen this story before. The it'll smolder here for a couple of weeks. We'll get to spring training, and Mozeliak will be excited about some player that internal option he'll throw out there, and the Arenado thing will go away until maybe July.
Well, you're killing me because I'm at like 80% this thing is happening, and the only reason I say that is, and I'm going to ask you this question. I know the Stanton thing for me was completely different. To some degree, only because the reality of it is the Miami Marlins could not have handled it any worse, right? Like, the Miami Marlins came to a card game. They got themselves a hand that they could play with, and instead of being able to bluff with it, they literally just shoved it down on the table and said, look what I have, but I still need to try to win here. And everybody mm-hmm. around the table went, what? Like, you just showed me what you have. You like, now you can't win.
Mm-hmm.
So completely different here. So, but my point is, this feels to me like, when is the last time something in a trade scenario has gotten to be this big a deal to where the Cardinals, and I agree with what Kyle said, the Cardinals really aren't even denying it. You know, like, it's typical Mo-speak to go, oh, we're not involved. Like, you know, but the Cardinals aren't even denying that they're interested, right? When's the last time that something was this far along that they didn't do it? Like, they, you know, it was Paul Goldschmidt. It was.
I would love to feel like this is Paul Goldschmidt all over again. I really, really would. But that was just such low hanging fruit that it was so obvious, kind of like the Dexter Fowler signing. Like, the fruit was hanging so damn low, it was almost on the ground. Like, you could just pick it up yourself. So this doesn't feel that obvious.
I don't know. I will say this. it doesn't feel that obvious only because we assume, I'm assuming, that the Rockies don't have to trade him. And I say that because they're not Miami, right? They're not Arizona. They're getting 3 million fans. They don't have to trade him. But the fact of the matter is they're not going to be good whether they have him or not, so then they have to decide what moves the needle. The problem is every one of the prospects that we're talking about with the out, like, I don't know that anybody we give them back moves their needle. It just gives them players.
Yeah, and I view it more as like the Cardinals with the whole risk thing. They're looking, going, well, we just don't have to. Like, we'd like to. We'd all like to buy a $500,000 house. We'd all like to be able to buy, you know, an expensive car. But you're looking and going, I don't have to.
See, I disagree a little bit. Just a little bit. I feel like, and you, I want your opinion on this. I'm glad you said that. I disagree a little bit because I get the feeling, and I think Kyle agreed with me to some degree. I didn't word it like this, so I'm curious to get your opinion when I word it like this. I think to some degree, it's funny, like if you're going to bring up a Ferrari or something, I think for certain baseball players, they are a Ferrari to Bill DeWitt. I think he wanted Giancarlo Stanton. I think he wants Nolan Arenado. So I think that changes things a little bit because I think he knows from a business standpoint, the business model that's worked for the Cardinals, if I have an iconic guy, I can then fill in cheap players around him and I sell my jerseys and I make everybody happy because I have a franchise type guy. My franchise type guy has only got a couple years left. Who's going to replace him?
Then why didn't they buy Rendon and keep their players?
Because I don't think that's the Ferrari he wanted. I really don't.
That's right. Then okay. Then how are they not even involved in talking to him? Like, come on. They didn't even kick the tires. Like, you're telling me you weren't willing to spend $180 million on Rendon before it got up to the 260? Like, they weren't even involved. So, like, how can you say you need or want something and then not even be involved when the guy was available for just money?
Well, this is all just me thinking, okay? I think they like Arenado. I think they look at him and go, and while maybe there's something about Rendon they didn't like. I'm just telling you, it feels that way to me. I have zero base here. Like, I couldn't even begin to tell you how I've come to this conclusion other than that's how it feels to me. That's just what it feels like to me. Like, in the end, why get involved at all? And it just feels like he gets involved when it starts getting to this arena. Now, the funny part is, and the comparison's always going to be, well, he got involved in the Albert Pujols thing and it didn't work. But the situation is different. Albert Pujols was 31, whatever it was.
Almost 32.
A little bit different. Talking about that. This guy's 28 years old and has got 7 years left. I mean, he basically becomes a free agent at 35. That's about the magic year that you want out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it just feels a little different to me. I don't know. Maybe
I'm
wrong.
Well, and he plays, let's be honest, like, Albert was good at first base, but he's no Arenado at third base.
Yeah, I mean,
there's more than just a bat.
Sure, and that's the thing. Like, he helps you in so many ways. And, you know, whether you agree with this or not, he sure seems to be a poster boy for baseball, right? Like, he's, you know, it just...
Oh, I like the guy.
Again, just it's just a feel, you know, and I could be completely wrong, but it's just a feel. And the truth of the matter is, again, you brought up the Anthony Rendon thing, and I agree 100%. But right, wrong, or indifferent, the bidding on free agents doesn't seem to be their thing. They seem to be more comfortable with the trades. I, again, don't know why. It just seems that they do. They're able to pull it off. I mean,
with trades, you get to go pick who you want to attempt to acquire. So, like, they may be, you know, the more I think about this kind of thing, like, they may be very meticulous on the type of player that they want in their clubhouse. Like, you know, you look at Bryce Harper and we all complain. He could end up being a manager eater where, like, the Phillies are just churning through managers because he's always discontent, you know, with what's going on. We don't know that kind of thing.
Sure.
And maybe that's why they weren't involved, because they're like, look, we love the guy as a player, but like we just don't want him in here bitching about the manager every 2 years.
And I think, like, that's human nature, right? Like I promise you, if you spent $100,000 on a car right now, if you had $100,000 spent and you went out and said, I just fell ass backwards into $100,000, I'm going to go get the car I always wanted, the chances are really high that I would look at that car and go, man, that's really nice. But if I had $100,000, I'd have got this one. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's a reason for it. Don't know why.
Yep.
But it does feel like, and here's the thing about it.
Well, they're still hiring employees.
Sure.
Right?
Like, absolutely.
We all view them as the back of baseball card statistics, but there's a lot more to that, I think, that none of us really think about in terms of hiring an employee.
And I have no idea anything about Anthony Rendon that suggests he's not worthy. Like, that isn't mm-hmm. this. It's just that, you know, I know all kinds of people that I really like, but for some reason, this is the guy that I am in love with, so to speak, of coming to work for me or playing baseball for me. So the other thing on it is this, and this is where I kind of, you know, like we talk a lot about Walt Jocketty and the way they do things. So like when I go back and I look at trades, okay, like I go back and I look at trades, and this has been my basis of why I feel like the Nolan Arenado thing is real. Now, whether it happens or not, it's anyone's guess. But for me personally, the reason that I'm like excited about it as a fan is because, like I said, outside of the Stanton thing, which I consider to be different, I consider it to be different, not because they didn't get him and it fits my narrative. If you don't know that it was way different, then you're burying your head in the sand. It was completely different. Now,
oh yeah, because like I said, they had a deal in place. The Marlins were willing to accept what the Cardinals had to offer. It was Stanton saying, "Nah, I'm good."
Right. So the thing is, for me, if you go back and look at the Cardinals, every successful thing they've really had has come from a trade that felt just like this one. And you can sit there and go, well, yeah, Jim, I mean, okay, Paul Goldschmidt, yeah. Who else was it with Mozeliak? Well, Matt Holliday, I guess you'd have to say that. So, yeah, so there's two.
It really does feel like the Matt Holliday situation again. I will admit that.
So here's the thing, though. When you go back before Holliday, it was Jim Edmonds. It was Scott Rowland. And people are going to go, yeah, but that was Walt Jocketty. Same owners, though. And I assure you, when you start trading for guys that you know, and of course they didn't get 10 year $300 million in, but what they did get was market value at that time. I promise you the DeWitt ownership had to be involved in that, because if you're the GM and you're going to a guy going, I'm going to do this, and from an on-field standpoint, I like it, so I want to do it, but I want you to know that I have to do this, and I have to do it, and you have to know that we're going to have to sign this guy to a 5-year, $50 million or whatever, right? So mm-hmm. this, like, I think DeWitt gets involved when it's time to start spending money, and if he becomes enamored with a guy, and listen, I haven't talked to him, but if you are to believe what you've heard, and you don't hear things about them very often, right? For some reason, there are certain things you keep hearing. He loves this guy. So if he loves this guy, if you're the GM and the owner says, yeah, stretch it, well, then isn't that your job to stretch it? So that's why
it feels that way to me.
And again, it's just a feeling.
This is the same guy who wouldn't spend $25 million on Luis Robert. Like, come on.
Well, it wasn't $25 million. It was technically $50, right?
Well, your penalty.
It's the same. It's the truth. I mean, he came out at the time and said, because I think if they would to sign him, it would have took, I believe. Now, again,
it would have took 60. Like
and then he signed for a little bit more with them. So it would have been like their assumption is by time they would have upped it, it would have been basically $60 million to get him. And he at the time. Now, this is what pissed me off, just to be honest. I remember this like it was yesterday. His excuse was, I just have a hard time spending $60 million. Why not spend $60 million and upgrade the professional roster? And he didn't do it.
On a major league roster.
Yes. Yep. Remember that?
That was just cool. I want to spend that money on a major league roster.
Yes.
Bullshit. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so that's the thing, you know. And hey, listen, I'll tell you this right now. You and I don't like it. We don't even agree with it. Okay. But if John Mozeliak and Bill DeWitt were in this studio right now and they said, listen, we are not going to spend $60 million on a guy that's going to go to single A. We're not going to do it. Okay?
Yeah.
We're not going to do it. But, you know, I do like a proven guy that's a Gold Glove winning third baseman that can hit for power, plays the game the right way. He's a choir boy. He's a leader. So I would have to go, yeah, you do, because you've done it before, right?
I mean, do you really think, and you just look at this, like, do you really see this front office paying Goldschmidt and Arenado $60 million a year?
Well, I do think they look at the longevity of it and how their roster sits for the upcoming years. So I think it's no different than here's the deal. There is no salary cap in baseball, right? But I think each club has their own salary cap. So how do you manage that, right? Yep. So yep. I think the St. Louis Cardinals sit here and go, okay, all right, so where are we at? So if we trade for Arenado and we're paying this much money, okay, we've already got a pretty good feeling that we're not going to get the discount from Flaherty on like a 5-year deal. So basically, he's year to year, so we know what we probably are looking at year here. Okay, so we have Goldschmidt for 5 years. He goes away after 5 years. Dylan Carlson is in our plans. He's going to be a major league minimum guy. Dexter Fowler, Matt Carpenter both come off the books. In the end, the whole thing comes Harrison Bader. Of course we love Harrison Bader. He's going to be cheap for a while. Paul DeJong is signed to that contract and has a few years left at this. Colton Wong will be gone. Colton Wong will be gone after this, because I know everybody loves him because he plays really good defense, but I can promise you the most overrated defensive position in baseball is a Gold Glove second baseman. Okay? Yeah, so it's the most overrated position in baseball.
Yesterday I tweeted something about this. I said, this is the perfect opportunity to do that like $60 million duo, because they don't have to pay anyone again until 2024.
Right. Like, and again, why it feels right.
They don't legitimately have to write a huge contract to anyone until 2024.
I mean, so doesn't it feel like Goldschmidt's money goes to Flaherty eventually? And then, you know, Dylan Carlson, and then Arenado's money goes to Carlson if he winds up. Like, again, we don't even know who he's going to be, right? Like,
sure.
But it goes to somebody, right? Mm-hmm. Carpenter's gone, Fowler's gone. And the truth of the matter is, no matter how this thing works out, you basically go to work on Fowler and Carpenter. Okay? Like, I don't believe in my heart of hearts either one of them will go to Colorado. Okay?
Really?
I don't know. I understand. Like, listen, I understand. Like, I believe in my heart like they should, because from selfishly, well, yeah, I want to go there and hit. Let me tell you something. Dexter Fowler's already been there and didn't hit all that great.
I don't think they want. I don't think they'd get rid of Fowler. I think Colorado would want Carpenter.
They might, but I don't think he'd go there. That's my point. He's got a no trade clause, so I don't think he goes there. What I think
I do, and I tweeted this yesterday too, when I said that that's a very simple discussion for Mozeliak to have with him.
I agree.
We're getting Arenado with or without you.
No, I agree.
So you can sit here, and we'll use you when you can. Or you can agree to go to Colorado for the next 2 years and play. Like, I can't imagine Carpenter's going to be like, nah, I'll just sit on the bench and hope for my time. Because you're playing, like, the two spots he plays, really, the two faces of the franchise at that point, they're not sitting very much.
Correct, but let's look at it this way. All right, and again, I love this conversation because it's all, what do you think a man is thinking? Okay, mm-hmm. Here's the issue. If Matt Carpenter was 29 or 30 years old, I agree with you 100%, but he's 34, going to be 35. He's 34 years old. Okay, so why would he go there? Okay, well, if you're 30 and you're Matt Carpenter, you're coming off a supposed down season. I don't even want to get into that argument with people. If you're coming off this down season, you go to Colorado and build up your value, right? Because ultimately that's what you are as a hitter, right? So go there and build up some value. Well, that ain't happening because he's signed to a 2-year contract. He's going to be 36, 37 years old. He's done. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So why do that? Okay. You're going to go there and play thing. He's going to go, nah, listen, I'm also not dumb and I know you don't want me anymore. You'll find a home for me and I'm going to tell you where I'll go. And what's going to happen is, I promise you, Texas not getting Arenado. Texas would probably like to have me, and I'm from there. And I'm going to put it on you to have to eat half my contract. And yeah, you'll get rid of me, but you're going to get rid of me to somewhere I want to go. And yeah, you're the one that's going to have to eat some money. Because I promise you, somebody will take me at half price.
Yep. that's fair. That's
you know what I mean? Like, I promise you that's what's going to happen here. Now, in my heart of hearts, it's my belief that that's going on as we speak. Like, you know, they're going, okay, that's the thing, though. I don't believe for 1 minute that the Cardinals are taking Arenado and giving away the prospects and going, we'll deal with Dexter and Matt after this. No, it's going on right now. Well, like, conversations are happening right now. They're happening with both of them. They're going to Dexter going, you know, you want to go back to Colorado? You know, because the bottom line is, if we give you to Colorado, we got to add another prospect for them to take an offset salary, blah, blah, blah. And if I'm not going there. Well, then I'm going to tell you right now, we want to move you and we want some teams you're willing to go to. So give us a list of where you'll go.
Yeah.
I think that's happening.
Yeah, because the one thing that Dex has that Carpenter doesn't, that Carp could sit there and go, look, I'm making $18 million to sit here on the bench, and you guys are building a World Series caliber team. I want a ring. Dex is going, I already won mine, so. You know what I mean? Like,
he doesn't
have the same motivation to sit around.
Well,
where Carpenter's going to be like, I kind of like what's going on here. I could make this work for $18
million. Well, and the truth is, I will say this. If you're the Cardinals, and if you've watched real closely how they do things, we're talking about an organization that wouldn't cut Luke Gregerson because they tried to get something out of him, because to them, he still had some value because he was basically a reliever. And I'm sure they thought, we can bring him into the sixth inning, right? And at least not cut the $4 million. You know, they won't cut Brett Cecil. So they look at the value of the money versus where you're at on your roster, right? So I will say this. I promise you, they wouldn't admit this publicly, but I can tell you right now, and people will probably shit over this, but if you were to ask them, if you do get Nolan Arenado and you can move one of Fowler or Carpenter, who do you want to move? The Cardinals will want to move Carpenter. And it's because of what you said. There's nowhere for him to play, really. Whether you think even he's better than Fowler or not is irrelevant, because the Cardinals are going to go, if we get Nolan Arenado, we're going to go ahead and trot Dexter Fowler out the right field because we're already paying him. So we're going to trot him out there. And he's going to fill one of those positions, and we're going to get our money out of that position.
Precisely.
That is the big thing here, I promise you. So
good. I agree.
All right, so I got to ask you before we get to some questions for you on the Patterson Tire and Service text line. So we did it yesterday, and I got a bad feeling about this answer coming from you, but what is your percentage of – I'm hoping maybe I raised it, because I think at the beginning of this conversation it wasn't very high. What's your percentage that you think that the chances of this thing happening? I'm going to tell you right now, I'm at 80%. It's happening.
So we will acquire Nolan Arenado before opening day.
Yes, sir. 80%.
Oh, God.
Bah.
Oh, do I hedge and just say 50?
Oh, don't be that guy. Don't be that guy.
All right, I'm fine. I'll go.
That was me last week. Don't be me.
I'll stay on brand and go 49%.
Okay, so if it's 49% and it happens, you have to come on and go, well, I was wrong.
I will gladly. I have no problem, you know, coming back and saying, hey, I went with what I knew and what they previously had done and felt comfortable with the fact that they were going to continue to do that process, but they chose not to. So I don't have any issue saying I'm wrong.
Okay, so I got a couple things here for you on the Patterson Tire and Service text line, and we do remember our friends that phone number one last time is 618-797-6711 and located at 3718 Highway 111, Granite City, Illinois. Remember, they're a whole lot more than a tire store, as it's real easy to call them and get a quote on brakes or tires. But if that engine's knocking or that check engine light's on, they are specialties, and they do specialize in automotive repairs, so give them a call. Obviously, if you're in that Granite City community, you've probably used them, unfortunately, more than once. But if you're from the surrounding area and just haven't gotten into town there, give them a call. It's worth the trip. You guys will enjoy that family. Tremendous people. Patterson Tire and Service. All right. So, you know, it's funny. Tom in Virginia had sent in, like, follow-ups to some stuff that had happened. So you've kind of answered it already. But for you, it was, do you believe this shit with Arenado? And I think there's a part of you that believes something's there. But, yeah.
Oh, I believe they're talking. I just, that doesn't mean a lot to me.
I know. So anyway, I just had to say that because I like any guy that has a little fun with his text line. So here's one that we just talked about. So I really want to get your thoughts on the man and the player, whether you think he's any good. So this Scott Didio, and the reason I wanted to get his question in because I feel him. Tough being a Cards fan in Chicago. I love Matt Carpenter. Fantastic teammate. Has done everything the Cardinals have ever asked of him outside of last year. Has been a red jacket type of player for us. I'm going to start off by saying the first part of his thing. I want everybody out there that doesn't like Matt Carpenter to have heard that. Because that is 100% fact. Whether you're mad at him about the leadoff thing or the second base thing or whatever you're mad at him about, don't be mad at him. He didn't go to anybody and say, I'm doing it. They've asked him to do something, and all he's ever done is go work his ass off. So that is fact. Unfortunately, the situation in St. Louis isn't right for him anymore. Not his fault. He accepted that terrible contract. Why wouldn't he? He needs to waive his no-trade clause and go to Colorado and rake in that thin air. Come back to the applause he deserves by fans who will no doubt come back around. Absence will make the heart grow fonder. Do you believe that if he goes bye-bye, that absence will make the heart grow fonder?
Yes, and I argued with someone, I want to say it was last summer, maybe the summer before that. Matt Carpenter will wear a red jacket. He is a Hall of Famer. That is the epitome of a Cardinal Hall of Famer. Like, and if people don't view it that way, that's fine. But, like, he's legitimately one of the best Cardinal hitters ever. And people give him no – I mean, there's just so many people that just don't give him any credit for that. Like, it's sad, but truly, he will wear a red jacket someday because there's enough people that will eventually appreciate what he did when he was here. And I think he probably will end up being traded somewhere else. But come on. I mean, these are the same people that stand up for John freaking Jay and give him standing ovations. I heard it the other day when Jed Jerko was signed with Milwaukee. Everybody's talking about, oh, well, he'll come back this so many times and get his standing ovations. It's like, give me a break. So, yeah, if they don't, then they don't understand baseball at that point.
Okay, this is a great question from Ryan Hetzer. I know he does a lot of writing stuff. I really do enjoy him very much. Because I think this is great. We'll end it with this. Forget Arenado and Ozuna exist for a moment. What is the one additional move you would make for this club with realism part of the consideration? Great question. Did I stump you?
Mookie Betts.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, we haven't, like, things, in my opinion, are so far gone with the Arenado thing that I haven't even gotten into that equation yet of what's the fallback. Because, and again, my opinion is this. If the St. Louis Cardinals are willing to give the right guys, then it'll never get to this. But if the St. Louis Cardinals are willing to trade good young talent and the Colorado Rockies aren't willing to take it, and the talent is that good, I promise you Cleveland and Boston might be interested.
Yeah, but that's not how the Cardinals operate. This is their guy. It's either going to work or it's not. They're gonna go all out. Like they're doing what they can. They're doing their due diligence to try and get Arenado. If this falls through, it'll be internal option.
Yeah,
and it'll be viewed as a special one off. That's what Arenado was. Kind of like Stanton. He was just you just don't get that opportunity, and he was a special one off. And that's what we'll get. So that's why, like, if we get Arenado, that is amazing. That's fantastic. But if we don't, plan on Matt Carpenter or whoever playing third base with Edmund or whatever and figure out who that cleanup hitter is, good luck.
Here's a question that was asked. This will be the last thing I'll ask you because I think it was a good one. Somebody had asked already, and I asked Kyle. Who do you think is the opening day cleanup hitter? I went ahead and took it a step further. So I'm going to ask you, I want two answers from you. If Nolan Arenado's on this team, who's the opening day cleanup hitter? If he's not, who is the opening day cleanup hitter?
So if he is, so basically the roster plus Arenado, like the current roster plus Arenado.
What's that?
So you're saying like if Arenado's on the current roster, who's the cleanup hitter?
Yeah, if the Cardinals trade for Nolan Arenado, who will back cleanup? If they don't do anything, who's going to be cleanup on opening day?
who will they or who would I?
You.
Two vastly me.
Yeah.
If it would be DeJong or O'Neill.
Okay.
Goldschmidt would bat second. Arenado would bat third.
Okay. And if we don't have Arenado?
It's probably the same. I'd probably bat someone else in the two hole behind Dexter and Goldschmidt three, and then either O'Neill or DeJong cleanup. Like, that's what you're looking at right now.
Yeah, I think
I answered. I don't think the cleanup hitter really changes for me. I know it changes for the manager because they're never going to bat Goldschmidt or Arenado second like they should.
See, I'm batting. I don't know about you, and this is kind of where I thought it was interesting. I think everybody thinks that they're going to trade for Nolan. I think the people that do believe Nolan Arenado is going to be a Cardinal think they're going to trade for him. He's going to bat behind Goldschmidt. I think it's the opposite. I think Nolan Arenado bats third and Goldschmidt bats fourth. That's what I think.
That's fine, but one of those two should be batting second.
Well, I was going to say, you know, the more interesting topic here is who leads off and who bats second. I mean, that's going to be a whole – like, I'm saving that. I don't even want to touch it. I want to wait and see what happens with the roster because I'm promising you, if whether something happens or not, the interesting thing for this is going to be just as it's always been, is who leads off and who bats second and why. Because,
I mean,
you know, that's always going to be a thing, right? Like, it's a big part of this.
I would think whoever's batting lead off is whoever's left between Dex and Cart.
Well, I disagree, but I get it. So we'll see what happens, I guess.
Yep.
I'm more on the Tommy Edman or Colton Wong, just to see if they can. I think they both did enough for me that I want to see if they can repeat it.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? Now, some people would say, I think Matt Carpenter's done enough in his career that he's earned the right to see if he can start off the season and get it on track as a leadoff guy. Okay.
I think both him and Dex have.
Well, we're going to find out, aren't we? We're going to find out where the manager's at on this because that's the other thing, too. You know, one of the big things when we got the new manager and everybody was railing on Mike, the other Mike, you know, the non-commitment. Well, he is really committed to Dex Fowler and these guys. And so we're going to find out how committed he is if things don't go right. So, you know, and will they ship him away? For nothing. So interesting. I love it. Great stuff. Well, hey, listen, man, thanks for joining me today and tell our listeners where they can follow you.
On Facebook at Moz Algorithm and on Twitter at MOZ_algorithm.
Great stuff as always, my friend. We will chat next week.
See you, Jim.
All right. The one, the only Moz Algorithm. That's going to do it for us today. One last time, check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show. Please check out our Two Birds bloggers at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. Follow us there. Find us on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. Like our page. Make sure you check out the pinned post, as that's always our latest show. Make sure you've commented on it, liked it, and shared it. That means so much to us, and thank you for those that do. Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram, and of course, as part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio, streaming platform for your mobile device. Coming to you from the Patio Studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere, we thank our friends and partners, Randy Green, Stephanie Green, InnovativeCompanies.com. Your continued support of our show means a lot to us, and you know, we hope that everybody out there is taking advantage of these wonderful people and their great business. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. They got you covered. To our friends at Adam Smokehouse, best barbecue in St. Louis. If you haven't tried it yet, then shame on you. Get over there and try some of the best barbecue. St. Louis, here's your cue. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Located in Missouri and Illinois. Get to work. It's the off season. You want to see improvements? You got to put in the time. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. And of course, check out Ooh La La Spa Anti-Aging and Wellness Center by typing in DrChristianJacobs.com. She reminds you every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. Take care of your skin, folks. For all of us here, Two Birds on a Bat and Bow Ties and Bullshit. Let's go, birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.